Welcome to Truvon Talks with Rachel and Linda on this springy 2024.
Yes, beautiful day. 70 degrees, I think, is the high. Hope
We love
so.
it.
Thankful for some sunshine.
And happy Easter to everyone. So we'll be celebrating that on Sunday. So I just want to say happy Easter to all folks. And we are going to talk about today. What are we talking about, Rachel?
We're going to talk about codependency. What is it? What creates it? And how can we break out of it? This is a term that's just been coming up a lot for me in my sessions recently. People have heard of it or not heard of it, and the ones that have heard of it are a little confused about what it means. So I thought it might be helpful to get some education out there for folks that are curious about it.
Excellent. What is codependency?
So this is not a formal diagnosis at all. You will not find this in the diagnostic statistic manual. It's just a term used in the mental health community to describe an unhealthy, toxic relationship dynamic between two people, a giver and a taker, right? So the giver is always meeting the taker's needs, right? Always giving empathy and remorse, always apologizing, even if they did nothing wrong. And the taker is doing just that, what the word means, right? It's taking it all in, getting all their needs met, and not giving much, if anything, in return. And so the giver becomes dependent on the taker becomes dependent on the giver, and this cycle of codependency is created.
Well defined, Rachel.
Thank you.
Defined. And in EFT couples therapy, because y'all bear with me, I didn't do any research today. Sometimes people think the anxious pursuer, the person that's constantly reaching, texting, talking, pursuing, the other person being the taker. The taker might look like the avoidant attachment style, that being someone that's on the island and they're just there and they're just receiving from the pursuer, the ocean, the wave, as described in some of the couples curriculum. The difference is the anxious pursuer is seeking a secure bond and wanting a social reciprocity, the equal exchange. They're not necessarily trying to just give, 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 but it can mirror that. It can look like that.
How would you do like kind of break up the difference between, this is your classic pursuer withdrawer kind of cycle in a relationship that is so common. That's the most common one, I think, right? Yeah, when couples get into a negative cycle, there's one that's reaching, like, I want to talk about this conflict right now. That's the what we call the pursuer. Like, let's get to the bottom of this. And then there's a withdrawer that, like, this conflict feels like too much. It doesn't feel emotionally safe for me to share how I'm feeling. I'm afraid I'm going to make it worse. I don't want to rock the boat. And so that's what we're calling like the withdrawer. Yeah. So that's pretty normal. That's common. That's very different from what we're going to be talking about today in the codependent. Codependence, like the giver is usually well-intentioned. They don't realize that they are kind of sabotaging all of their relationships because they tend to not just be in one of these relationships. They tend to all of their relationships kind of mimic this cycle where they are the giver. And their friend, their romantic partner, several family members will be takers. Because we've talked about this before, like your brain seeks out what feels familiar and it likes that, like, consistent feeling. Like, I know what to expect in this relationship. Nothing, right? So that's just like what they're used to, and they unintentionally kind of seek that out. It's like a magnet, they're like drawn to it.
Yeah, and then they start to feel some resentment then that evokes a little bit of, oh, well, today's not going to be about me ever. Like you said, zero. I love how you said that. It's I expect that, when I would try to get attention from mom and dad growing up, from my primary caregivers, whomever they were, I got nothing back. So I'm used to this. Like what Rachel's saying, that's a an attachment, perspective. The people around me don't give back. So I'm cool with just giving, giving, giving until you're not. Then what happens, Rachel?
You're exhausted, you're resentful, you're burnt out.
Yep.
A lot of people hate themselves,
Yeah.
which isn't that ironic? They hate themselves. They feel like it's their fault. Why am I so unlovable that this person will do nothing for me? How is it that I got in a situation where I'm not only, completely independent and have to do everything myself, but I also have to take care of everybody else? That's a hard place to be.
Because then you're looking at this other person, you're like, now, when is it going to be about me? When am I going to get some of my needs met? When are they going to tousle my hair for me? When are they going to, pick me up a little coffee today? You're just going to start resenting
Or even just
that.
to notice that they've done something hurtful and apologize,
Oh,
right?
there you go.
Because if you're the giver, you're probably never receiving an apology, a thank you, a pat on the back for all of what you've given.
Yeah. And the codependent relationship, it kind of like is a symbiotic, so it
Enmeshment.
enmeshment, good word. And for our listeners, an enmeshment is, I don't know, and I'm holding my arms like this because I don't know where I begin and where you begin, or where you end and where I end. So if you feel sad today, I feel sad today. If you feel mad today, I feel mad today. You like to go ski? Well, I like to go ski. So there's no separation,
They
is
lose
how
their self
I,
in the relationship.
yes, there's no sense of self. It's just we're one continuum. And what is the issue with that type of enmeshed relationship?
It becomes like an addiction, and it's
Yeah.
so hard to get out of, right?
Yeah.
If everything I know about myself is tied up in this relationship, then how can I possibly leave? Who am I outside of this dynamic?
Yeah. And this isn't a secure attachment. Let's
No.
differentiate between a secure attachment is two individuals with their own personality, likes, dislikes, cares, separate from the other person's feelings, likes, and dislikes, coming together to form a bond and respecting the differences. Enmeshed is, I don't know who I am without you, Rachel.
There are
I
no boundaries, none, zero.
don't, zero.
At least not for the giver. Right? The giver has to learn to respect the taker's boundaries. The giver's not allowed to have any boundaries. Or so they are in reality, right? But in that enmeshed, it feels very much to the giver like they're not allowed to
Yeah.
have boundaries.
Well stated. No boundaries. And what happens when you're in this kind of like in a You ever seen those balls that people get into and they can roll around and they can punch each other, but they're like in a ball? What are those things?
Oh, yeah, they're like kind of like they're both like each person's in a hamster ball and they can
Yeah.
like kind of what is it, bumper car?
Yeah, like they're bumper car because they're all blown up
But
like
it's a
they're in
bubble. Yeah.
the
I don't know what they're
bubble.
called.
Someone tell us when you get a chance. Put it in the comments on our
Yeah.
page.
But those are fun. I've seen those. Yeah.
I want to do that with Charlie. Just like bump him, you know, for fun.
Yeah.
But we're just playing.
Watch out, Charlie. Yes.
I'm imagining that someone that's in a codependent relationship is that they're both in the bubble
Together.
together. So every move the one makes, the other one makes. There's no separation. There's no individual choice.
Yeah. They're just doing what whatever the taker wants. Right? The other's
Right.
like following.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying not to rock the boat. Yeah. So I guess what we're saying is this is a trauma response because
Yes.
you don't want it to create conflict. You're longing to feel like you are good enough, worthy, lovable, and you've learned to do that by making other people happy and making sure all of their needs are met. And if someone becomes upset, angry at you, if you are the giver, you feel like it's all your fault. You're a terrible, horrible person, and you've messed everything up, and you always do, and you always will. And it is your life goal to try to make everyone else happy.
And then we have a term for that called learned helplessness. No matter what I do, I can't get it right for this person. They're not happy with me. So, if you're in that symbiotic codependent relationship, you will start feeling helpless in that nothing is ever going to make this person content with me, or
Right.
which case we should not be trying and striving to make other people feel good about themselves. That's
You
you could be an
can't.
imposter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me more, Rachel, why you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think we've touched on it in previous podcasts before. It's like if someone sees themselves in a negative light, nobody else is going to convince them that they're lovable, good enough, attractive, worthy. No matter what you do or say, you are not going to change their inner core belief about themselves. That is work that they have to do.
So
Yeah.
glad you said that, the inner core belief. So if I say to you, Rachel, your hair is so beautiful and full and lovely. Well, and you disagree with that. You say, no, it's not. It just says, I don't have a good hair day today. It wouldn't matter how much I tell you that, would it?
Right. Absolutely
Because
not.
your view of self in the mirror doesn't reflect what you believe.
Right.
So, at our best, encouraging someone is not going to look like that. You're not going to believe anything you don't believe about yourself.
Right.
So being in that codependent bond is problematic with that because there's no individual self, your God-given
Right.
self.
Right. Yeah, you lose yourself. You lose that authentic self in trying to maintain some sort of control within
Yeah.
your life and a relationship. I think it's Gabor Mate. I never know if I'm saying his name correctly. I
Oh,
apologize,
love that.
but
Oh, yeah.
yeah, he's like a well-known trauma specialist in the mental health field. And he says, I'm going to read it from here. Excess stress occurs when the demands made on a child exceed the developmental capacity to fulfill. So you have a lack of control, you have a lack of information, or you have a lack of certainty. And so that happens in families where you experience abandonment, rage, addiction, or abuse, because all of those things are outside of a child's control capacity to understand. Right? They don't understand addiction, children. They don't understand when someone just bursts into a rage for seemingly like no reason at all. They don't understand abandonment, someone just leaving. And so what happens when we don't have the capacity to understand something is that we assume, well, it must be my fault. Because that gives us a false sense of control. I can't control what's happening around me in my environment, but I can control what I do in response. So it must be me. I must be causing this. And if I'm causing it, then maybe I can do something about it. So I'm going to put all of my feelings and needs aside, and I'm going to do everything within my power, which I don't really have, right? But I think it's me, right? I'm going to do everything I can to try to prevent this person from bursting into rage, to try to prevent this person from drinking or using drugs, to try to prevent this person from leaving. And that's how this the self is lost.
Well, just so well stated, Rachel. So that touched on a vulnerable part of myself, of like growing up with that. It's like, what can I do to make sure my parents okay? What can I do to make, him happy? What is it going to take? Do I clean a little more? Do I go on a run with him? Do I talk about how awesome he is? I mean, there was just so much, when you're growing up with trauma or an angry parent or an addictive parent, as a kid, you like what Rachel said is it just touched me just now. It's like you're trying so hard to
Feel safe.
create safety and security in your home that you take on ownership where ownership doesn't rest
Yeah.
on you.
You're taking on ownership and responsibility of somebody else's behavior, lack of emotion regulation, feelings, all of that becomes yours. What a heavy burden for anybody to be carrying, especially as a child.
It's when you offload that, when you go to counseling and you see a wonderful, awesome Rachel and she helps you unburden that part of self. Oh, my inner child, she doesn't need to take on the parental needs of the parent, those unmet needs of the parent. The child's trying to reparent the parent because they had trauma, and that becomes too heavy, too heavy. And that's how codependency gets created. Is that accurate, Rachel? How can folks recognize that when we're doing therapy with them? How can they recognize that they are taking on the other, they're being the giver? How do we get them to recognize they're in a codependent, enmeshed bond?
Yeah, I think recognizing it, you're gonna notice. I think what people kind of share with me is like, why do I feel like a doormat? Why do I feel like I'm constantly giving every ounce of my being to someone else? And I feel like it's not appreciated. I feel like they could honestly care less, but I can't leave. I feel like I owe something to them, or I feel like they need me, and it would be so selfish to walk away. Like I would be abandoning them.
Remember, Rachel, I like when they say that, it's like, remember, you were trained as a kid to be this way. So let's untrain your inner child and unburden her. But she's not responsible for her parent.
Or her partner, or her best friend, right?
Her siblings, like you're
Yeah,
not
anybody else.
responsible. And they come to you every week and it's like, well, I'm feeling used again, or it's the same, they're feeling, overwhelmed. And it's like, well, what would you like to do about this overwhelm? Because as therapists, we're collaborating with those inner parts of the self of what's getting in the way of, unburdening themselves from the responsibilities of other people.
And a lot of times people will try to talk about what they're experiencing, with friends or family, and they're like, oh, the responses they might get are like, oh, but that's your mom, or oh, but marriage is hard. And it's like this, the people that you're sharing with clearly don't understand the gravity of the situation which you are in,
This is why when people are like, I can't believe they broke up or they're divorced, or like, were you a fly on the wall? Like they taught us in our trainings in EFT. Did you see every little microaggression, every little dismissiveness, or you don't see everything. We can't see everything. So just hold that thought or that judgment, or that, oh, just deal with that. You just have to suck it up, buttercup. No, nobody knows your experience. So, yeah. So cool. Codependency. How do we recognize it in ourselves and with others? And how do we start breaking away from being enmeshed with someone?
We set boundaries and we learn how to tell people no, which is extremely hard for a giver in a codependent relationship because this is something that you have taught yourself not to do for years. This is something that feels so dangerous. It feels like if I tell this person no, if I don't answer their every beck and call, then I'm gonna be alone forever. And that will prove that I'm unlovable. I mean, like it's a terrifying thing to ask someone to do.
Yeah, it's very scary to have that fear of being alone or, the rest of your life. And it's also scary to not set a boundary because your resentment and anger for this person you're enmeshed with will cause you to die young from
Oh,
exhaustion.
yeah. Health problems.
What is it they call it? Dr. Mader may be saying that they're stored or poke and the body keeps score. You store this stuff in your body and you'll store resentment and it'll manifest in other ways and sicknesses.
Yeah. Well, it's extremely unhealthy levels of those stress hormones, cortisol, adrenaline. I don't know the rest of them, but all of that, yeah. Our body is not made or meant to experience such high levels of stress every single day, all day long. We're meant to experience little bursts, here and there. That's kind of the healthy norm. Right. If it's all day, every day, exactly what you're saying, Linda, like that's creating internal physical issues, GI issues. I think a lot of women end up having issues, their kind of ovaries and those areas of that are very sensitive of our bodies.
So well said. If you don't learn to say no, your body will say no. I saw a meme like that. If you refuse to, set limits for yourself in relationship or in anything, your body will shut down.
Yeah, well, it's amazing the amount of people I work with that have had complex trauma throughout their life that are now experiencing chronic pain. There is absolutely, undoubtedly a link between unresolved trauma and chronic pain in what I witness.
Oh, it's the studies would suggest that is true,
It's so sad.
And not feeling good all of the time is not homeostasis. It's not the norm, like Rachel said, so the way you would start that is, you say you start seeing a therapist and you start recognizing some of your own behaviors in relationship. You're giving, you're buying for, you're tending to. However, nothing gets redeposited into your bank account, so to speak. And so you start to feel taken advantage of or resentment. And once that starts to happen, you're like, oh, okay. So you tell your therapist, I'm feeling that like a doormat, like Rachel said. What could I do? Okay, the next time, Rachel, that you feel someone asks you a big ask, they say, hey, can you come over, wash my car, clean my house, and watch my dog this weekend for $0 for nothing in return? They wouldn't say
Not
that.
even a thank you, but yeah, you
Not
know
even
they're
thinking.
not gonna thank you. Yeah.
And do all these things for me. Oh, I want to be a good person. I want to be a good Christian. So I want to go over there and do that. When your body says, I'm tired this weekend, I love to help you out, but something tells me not to do it. You'll hear it. Okay. Even if you're in a codependent enmeshed bond, you'll hear the little no. Listen to the little no. Your body's telling you this is too much.
This isn't fair.
This isn't right.
Yeah.
It's too big of an ask.
Yeah. You've been taught, if you are that giver, to ignore that little no. And it's
Bingo.
time to listen to it. Yeah.
And then it'll get easier. And when I start working with folks, like the little no starts becoming a bigger no to lots of things. And then you find yourself feeling a little alone at first because you're used to pursuing and giving and being around people. But then you start to say, what do I really like to do? What does my inner child enjoy? Then self starts to emerge, kind of like a flower starts to emerge in the springtime.
So we start by setting boundaries, right? And then we slowly begin to develop a sense of self. Who am I outside of this relationship? What do I like to do, right? Then we start kind of picking apart, what is it that's so scary about being alone? What does being alone mean to you? That means I'm unlovable and nobody wants me. Okay, we're gonna create a new definition for that because that's not true, right?
Being alone doesn't mean that you're not wanted.
Right. You can choose to be alone, and you're allowed to do that because maybe you can treat yourself better than this person is treating you.
Guess what song popped in my head, Rachel?
What?
You and I are on the same page. Let's see if you.
Flowers by Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, flowers. I can buy myself flowers.
Write
I
my
can
name and
dance by
sing.
myself.
That's
Oh, yeah, I
right.
don't got the right lyrics for that. I'm a singer,
It's okay.
I'm a dancer.
Yes.
So, yeah, so she can buy herself flowers and she can dance by herself. And that's where you want to get to in life is I can do this. We're not talking about self independent, do it alone, not
No.
interdependence. We want interdependence, not that. We're talking about, I don't need you to feel good about me.
Yes, fist pump to that. Standing ovation. I love it when a client gets to that place in a session and they share that like realization, and I will literally like stand up and clap for them because it's yes, such a good just moment in time. Wish I could bottle it.
I want our listeners to know when you start saying no to enmeshed codependent relationships that you grew up with, you're going to get backlash. You're going to get name calling. You're going to get gossiping.
Yes,
You're going to
the
get.
taker needs you. They don't do anything for themselves. They have been enabled their entire lives, or most of it, to depend on other people. So, yeah, they're gonna pitch a fit, lose their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who are you to say you want to do something on a free day? You're supposed to be here taking care of me.
Oh, yeah. They might smear your name. They might threaten to harm themselves.
They're out there protesting because you're not there doing all the things for them. So it's going to be hard, but eventually you emerge, the no gets easier. Come over here and watch a movie with me. I know you've been working all week. I don't care. No. It just gets easier and easier. I'd rather chill. And then you start to become your own self. That's what a boundary is. It's like, who am I without this person? I don't need you to feel good about me.
Right.
Don't.
Yeah. And if you are in a codependent relationship, you are a giver, that sentence that Linda just said, I don't need you to feel good about me, is going to sound so foreign, so alien. We get that.
And make sure you're doing, once you start to kind of sever the codependent enmeshed relationships, it's going to feel uncomfortable for you. Like Rachel says in other podcasts,
Extremely.
window of tolerance, is that right?
Yeah.
It'll get bigger. Get bigger. Highly encourage you if you're trying to set those limits with toxic bonds, is to pursue healthy hobbies for you.
Yeah. Healthy hobbies. Start with little no's. You know, build your way up. Instead of cooking their dinner and taking it to them, they can come get their own plate.
Yeah, you weren't sent here to rub their feet all day. Although lots of us would love our feet rubbed all day, that's not what people are here for.
Right.
No, they've got their own life, their own needs, their own longings, their own dreams. And if someone's getting in the way of you fulfilling that, then they're in the way. They're in the way.
Yeah. And even if that person's your mom, even if that person's your dad, your spouse,
Your
yeah,
sibling, your
sibling,
auntie, your,
best friend, a person that has your best interest at heart, a person that truly loves you, is going to be able to handle a no. They might feel disappointed. That's okay. There's a difference between being a healthy level of disappointed and like throwing a fit. There's a huge, that is not the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if my sister can't do something, I can say, well, I'm disappointed. And I respect your no.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Took me a long time to get there. It's not easy, Rachel. And
Yeah.
but to live out your authentic self and be who you are in the Lord, that's the way. That's the way. Yeah. Well, any more we want to share about codependent bonds, or did we cover everything that we wanted to share?
I think so. I think we talked about, what it is, how it's created, and kind of those first steps in getting out boundaries, figuring out, developing a sense of self, reframing what it means to be alone.
Yeah, I like that. And if you're in therapy, we would love to have you come see us. If you think you'd like to pursue, breaking some of these codependent tendencies, we would love to help you with that using emotionally focused individual therapy. And we also, Rachel and I like the internal family therapy as well. So.
Yeah, I feel like they go hand in hand really well. Yeah.
Great topic, Rachel. And I hope this was helpful for folks listening. Yeah.
Yeah, at least an introduction. Feel free to do your own research. I think there's two authors. Oh, I got balloons going on my screen. I don't know what that was. I guess if you throw up a peace sign, you get party balloons. There's two authors that are pretty well known when it comes to codependency books, and I'm hoping I get their names right. Well, one is Melanie Beattie, 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 I think. Melanie Beattie, and Pia, Pia Melody. Like that song has a nice melody. So if you're wanting to do some more research or learn some more on your own time after this podcast, you can look up either of those. And they have several books on codependency and how to break out of it.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Rachel. And we hope you all have a wonderful Easter weekend, and hopefully we will get back with you for our next podcast very soon.
Yeah, till next time. Bye.